Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, January 16, 2025, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5. We're in the epilogue, the last two verses. In fact, we're in the last verse of the epilogue. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, God has graciously opened the door for Upland Bible Church to go to Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. Rich Blair is conducting and presenting the Heaven Special that was taught here. And that's every Wednesday. The Bible lesson on 1:15:25 went well. We continued with our fifth lesson on the Heaven Special. Although the activity director alerted me that several attendees were in quarantine due to illness, there still were seven residents in attendance, including two new souls. When there are new faces, we briefly cover the format for listening to the Heaven Special, and also give the grace gospel either before or after the lesson. This lesson covered our citizenship in heaven, described in Philippians 3:20, and our hope and confidence in what God has waiting for us in heaven, described in Colossians 1:5. Your prayers are greatly appreciated as God continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. Rich Blair. We are in 1 John 5:20 and 21, the epilogue of the first letter of John. First John 5:20, we've exegeted, and it sounds like this. And we have learned the doctrine of the first advent now, or We have learned the doctrine of the first advent in the past, with the result that we know the doctrine of the first advent now in the present. Namely, that the Son of God has come and has given to us the ability to perceive, that's grace perspicacity, the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit and the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher means grace perspicacity for the purpose that we might gnosko, come to know Him who is true, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are in Him who is true, meno, abiding in Christ, living the spiritual life, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the true God and eternal life. The first person to ever live the unique spiritual life was the Lord Jesus Christ in His hypostatic union at the first advent. And then our Lord Jesus Christ gave that unique spiritual life to us, the royal family of God in the church age, with the spiritual skills of the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. He gave us the ability to perceive the absolute truth of the Word of God, grace perspicacity, for the purpose that we could fulfill His mandate to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this results in us gnoskoing, coming to know and understand the Lord Jesus Christ, personal love for Christ, occupation with Jesus Christ. The Apostle John is referring to his earlier teaching on gnoskoing and knowing God in 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4, and 1 John 4, verses 6 through 8. To come to know God, to gnosko God, is to know the essence of God. And especially in this epistle, that God is virtue love. There could be no true understanding of virtue love or knowing God and His virtue love for mankind and for us had not the Son of God come. The incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas and gone to the cross to reveal God's virtue love to man. Through His salvation work on the cross, we see who and what the Lord Jesus Christ truly is. He is virtue love. The Son of God has given us, the royal family of God, this unique spiritual life so that we can gnosko, come to know God and develop personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. This comprehension of God is the result of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the ultimate objective of why we're here, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, to have personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue and occupation with Jesus Christ. And again, verse 20 says, and has given to us the ability to perceive grace perspicacity, spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, combined with the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, for the purpose that we might gnosko, come to know Him, understand Him, who is true, the real, absolute truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are in Him who is true. Along with coming to know God, gnosko, there is a parallel reality that we are abiding in Him who is true. And by using the phrase, we are in Him, the Apostle Paul is referring to the word that he uses 20 times in 1 John, 20 times he uses the word meno. The Apostle John is recalling what he taught throughout this epistle and in 1 John 2, 5, and 6. He is referring to abiding in him, abiding in Christ, living the spiritual life, just as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life. However, knowing that the Son of God has come at the first advent, and recognition of his gift to us, the unique spiritual life of the church age, does not imply that we will make good decisions to live that spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. God has given all of us a free will, a volition. We are free to walk as the Lord Jesus Christ walked and live the spiritual life. However, we are also free to make bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. This one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the true God and eternal life. That is one of the most powerful declarations of the deity of Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. This carries us back to 1 John 1, 1 and 2, the prologue. Jesus Christ is the eternal life. As he declared in John 14, 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me, Jesus Christ. Is that for me? Are they calling me? I suggest, I know you people all have your phones and you bring them in here and you do this and that. If you have to have a phone, you don't have to. I don't. I don't want one. Don't give me one. I don't want a birthday present. I don't want a damn phone. If you have a phone, either leave it in the car or shut it off or give it to me and I will put it up for target practice. By the way, the government knows everything you do on your phone. You have no privacy. You have zero privacy. The government knows every single thing you are doing on that phone. Maybe you don't mind the government knowing all that. Well, I can't say anything too much because this guy right here is a fantastic deacon. He's the one that goes around with the offering bag, collects all that money, keeps 50% for himself and 50% for the church, and then goes on a trip to Hawaii. So don't get on this guy, you know. The reference to eternal life ties the prologue, 1 John 1, 1 and 2, with the epilogue, 1 John 5, verse 20, in this climactic affirmation that the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life. And with that grand affirmation that the Lord Jesus Christ is the true God and is eternal life, the Apostle John dogmatically declares the absolute truth of the Word of God in opposition to the false teaching and false doctrine of the Antichrist. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6. Well, that's the first verse in the epilogue. Now that brings us to 1 John 5:20. Very short verse. It says in the King James, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen." Now, I always like an amen, but I just thought I'd tell you that there is no amen in the original Greek. We have no, I mean, nothing wrong with you liking, I like amen too. That means I believe it, but that's not in the original Greek. So it says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." This is the vocative plural of technion, plus the aorist active imperative of philosso, plus the accusative plural of the reflexive pronoun heautu, plus the prepositional phrase apa, plus the genitive plural of eidolon with the definite article. Technion. And thank you, Dave. T-E-K-N-I-O-N. Technion. In the New Testament, technion is only found in the vocative. It is the vocative of address. Technion literally means a child, someone who is under authority. The Apostle John uses this word, technion, to address those members of his congregation who are students under authority. That's how he's using this. So he's using this technion for members of his congregation who are students under authority. And what does that mean? He's addressing those members of his congregation who have teachability, they're teachable, who have positive volition, who have humility, who have respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the Apostle John, who is teaching God's Word. That's how technion is used. And then we have a verb, phulasso. P-H-U-L-A-S-S, long O, phulasso. A couple of things on phulasso. First of all, phulasso means to watch, to guard, to defend. To watch, to guard, to defend. Two, phulasso means to guard someone or something. To guard someone or something, to protect someone or something. Three, with the reflexive pronoun heautu, which we have in our verse, H-E-A-U-T-O-U, heautu. With the reflexive pronoun heautu, which means yourself. So this is a command. This is in the imperative mood. Guard yourself. Protect yourself. In other words, this is a dire warning that John is giving to all of his congregation, to all of you. He is giving you this warning. So philosso with the reflexive pronoun. Guard yourself. Protect yourself. Four. The imperative mood is a mandate. It's a command for all of you. Command for every member of the royal family of God. Five, you are responsible for your own decisions in life. You are responsible for your own decisions in life. Six, you have a volition, wonderful volition, a free will. You are free to make good decisions. You are free to fulfill this mandate, command, and guard yourself. Guard yourself from the satanic evil of idolatry. And then you're sitting there going, I don't have any idols in my house. None made out of gold or silver or wood. I have no idols in my house. So I'm not to worry. I'm not going to have one of those little figures in there. You don't even know what idolatry is. This nation is full of idolatry. Most of the Christians in this country are operating under idolatry. Evil, satanic idolatry. You don't even know what it is. And here's a command from the Apostle John to his congregation. Now, you've heard me say this. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John is a polemic. Against what? Against the evil of Gnosticism. There was a man in, a believer in Jesus Christ in John's congregation. His name was Cerinthus. A believer in John's congregation. He had a very, very high IQ. Very high human IQ. And he thought he was way smarter than John was. And he developed a false system religion, which, by the way, is still operating. Satan has used this all throughout human history ever since Cerinthus developed Gnosticism. And the Apostle John is warning not only his congregation, he's warning all of you. Beware. Beware. Guard yourself against the satanic evil of idolatry. And John's congregation in Cerinthus, Cerinthus didn't have any idols of gold, silver, wood, and that. But he was totally, Gnosticism is total idolatry. The satanic evil of idolatry. And Cerinthus was so, he was very likable, influential, that a large portion of John's congregation left. They left. They totally listened to Cerinthus and the Gnosticism he was teaching, and they left. So So 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the polemic against Gnosticism. And they didn't, the Gnostics didn't have any little idols. They didn't have Molochs there and with the fire underneath. But they were totally in satanic evil of idolatry. And they thought they were so intelligent, so smart. Well, Gnostics comes from Gnosis. G-N-long-O-S-I-S. Knowledge. Oh, were they impressed with what they knew? Their knowledge. They had a lot more knowledge than John did. And they were totally in manifesting the satanic evil of idolatry. And all throughout America, Gnosticism still in America. Still, it's Satan's still using that in America. We got all these people, believers and unbelievers alike, in idolatry. Gnosticism, oh, they aren't calling it Gnosticism. But it's the exact same thing when you look at what they're emphasizing. And what do they love? They don't love God. They don't love the living and true God. They love money. They love pleasure. They love themselves. All of that's idolatry. They love themselves. Oh, very impressed in loving themselves rather than love God. They love money, but they don't love God. Money is their idol. They are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They aren't lovers of God. They're lovers of pleasure. Their idol is lovers of pleasure. All throughout America, idolatry. See, you think of idols as some little thing out of wood or silver or gold made. No, you, if that's what all you think it, you have crashed and burned. So, you have a volition. You have a free will. You're free to make good decisions. You're free to guard yourself from the satanic evil of idolatry. Of course, if you don't even know what it is, and I can tell that most of you haven't got a clue, you're looking at me like I have two heads up here explaining what idolatry is, and it's still functioning in America. Guard yourself from the satanic evil of idolatry. And you're free to make bad decisions, to live your life in Satan's cosmic system and the evil of idolatry. 7, if you live in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, you are involved in idolatry. And you cannot blame anyone else but yourself. You can't blame anyone else but yourself. And then we have a prepositional phrase, the preposition apa. And apa is a preposition of separation. It means away from, separated from. By the way, we're studying the doctrine of separation on Wednesday night. And then we have eidolon. E-I-D, long O-L-O-N, eidolon. Eidolon means false god, idol, idolatry. So the corrected translation, little children, and John is addressing positive believers, under authority, teachable believers, humble believers. Guard yourselves. This is a warning, command. Guard yourselves from idolatry. Guard yourselves from idolatry. Boy, is this should be taught in every church in this country. Because this believers in America and unbelievers are totally involved with idolatry. And again, it's hard for some of you because you think, well, it has to be some little wood idol, gold idol, silver idol. That's not it. Turn over to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. We're going to have some of these idols brought out here by Pastor Teacher Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. You can put in that terrible times, idolatry all throughout the land. People will be lovers of themselves. Selfish, self-centered, interlocking systems of arrogance, living in Satan's cosmic system. Lovers of themselves. There's an idol. Lovers of money. Oh, let me tell you, in this country, it's destroyed athletics. Now, when kids go to a university, they want to know, how much are you going to pay me? You're a college student. You shouldn't be paid a damn nickel. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's ruined athletics. College athletics have been ruined by NIL. Ruined. Used to be, well, now, if a team even makes it to a bowl game, half the team doesn't play anyway because they might get hurt and affect their getting a professional contract. So they don't even play. Why in the hell go to the bowl game? I wouldn't go. Why? That's not the team. If the team's all quit, the team's standing on the sideline. Now you got freshmen who don't know up from down out there. Now, it used to be you went to a college or a university to get an education. They're going to a university to get money because they have an idol that they worship. And the idol that they worship is money. They worship money. And it's evil, it's satanic to the core. And that's all over America. Totally. Evil, satanic idolatry. And the idol is money. And they might come here, but then UNLV doesn't have money. So you got schools like Southern California, which I wouldn't give you 1 cent for Southern California. I wouldn't give you 1 cent for Southern California. They got lots of money. So they say to our quarterback who is here, we will pay you $1 million to come and play quarterback at our school. So away you go. You're no longer UNLV. You go to who will pay the most money. You're worshiping idols. You're not going to college to get an education. You're going to college to make money. You see, that's called a professional. And so we've ruined athletics. College athletics have been totally ruined by this NIL. Totally. What do we have now? Idolatry. All throughout athletics. Idolatry. 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 Lovers of money. Not lovers of honor or virtue or what's right or integrity. Not lovers of that. Used to be coaches and athletes had virtue and honor and integrity. No, now it's just lovers of money. My idol. Who's going to pay me the most money? That's idolatry. It's all over America. See, you didn't know you were going to be studying idolatry in 2 Timothy 3. Lovers of money. You worship the dollar, your idolatry, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without virtue love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of divine good, treacherous, rash, arrogant, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They don't love God. They don't love the living and true God. They love the idol of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure, but absolutely not the lovers of God. They're worshiping idols. The idol of pleasure. Having a form of godliness, religion, moral degeneracy, but denying its power. And by the way, moral and immoral degeneracy, that's idolatry. Here is moral degeneracy. Having a form of godliness, religion, but denying its power. No power of the spiritual life, no power of the filling of the Spirit. And what is Pastor, teacher, Timothy say, have nothing to do with them. That's the doctrine of separation. That's our Wednesday night class. Have nothing to do with them. Separate. So, idolatry in America today includes great moral degeneracy and great immoral degeneracy. Lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. They don't love God. They're too busy worshiping their idol. Money, pleasure, but not God. They don't love God. To hell with God. Oh, that's kind of my introduction to the doctrine of idolatry. I hope you don't think I'm sitting on the fence. You understand exactly where I stand here. The doctrine of idolatry. First, the believer. Point one, the believer. The believer living in Satan's cosmic system is under demon influence and functions in the evil of idolatry. The believer living in Satan's cosmic system is under demon influence and functions in the evil of idolatry. Turn over to 1 Timothy 4. See, I know a lot of you thought, well, when Pastor Olson gets to be an old fart, he'll get a little kinder, a little, not yell as much. You know, he's now an old man trying to get into heaven now. So he'll stop doing that. You know what? It's gone just the opposite. The older I get and the more I look around at America living on the edge of the volcano, on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. Well, one, I love this nation. But if this nation doesn't get rid of its idolatry, moral and immoral degeneracy, and turn back to the living and true God and worship Him, we're toast. We're toast. You see, most of you, you think, oh no, everything's great. Donald Trump is president. Well, I am happy Donald Trump is president. Look who was running against him. I am happy Donald Trump is president. But we are still the same nation. And unless there's a spiritual revival in America, we're toast. We're toast. I don't care if Donald Trump is president. I don't care who is president. If Jesus Christ were president, he would have to destroy this country. If Jesus Christ were president, he would destroy America. So it isn't who is president. It's all these believers in idolatry, living in Satan's cosmic system, living in idolatry, worshiping money, worshiping pleasure, worshiping themselves, but not worshiping the living and true God. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith. Well, that time is here. Abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, demons. Demons. Idolatry is directly related to demonic activity. Idolatry is demonism. They will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, demons, and things taught by demons. That's where we are. What is that? Believers following things taught by demons. Idolatry. That is idolatry. And that's where we are today in America. Well, I try. My damnedest to get these points through to you. So first, the believer living in Satan's cosmic system under demon influence functions in the evil of idolatry. Second, point two, the unbeliever under demon possession and demon influence functions in the evil of idolatry. So both believers and unbelievers are in idolatry in America. The believer living in Satan's cosmic system is under demon influence, doctrine of demons, 1 Timothy 4:1, and he functions in the evil of idolatry. Idolatry and demonism go hand in hand. The unbeliever under the demon possession and demon influence also functions under the evil of idolatry. 3. Idolatry is analogous to spiritual fornication. Spiritual fornication or adultery. Instead of worshiping the living and true God, you're worshiping money, you're worshiping pleasure, you're worshiping yourself, but you're not worshiping the living and true God, and that's spiritual adultery. All these Christians in their idolatry, they're in spiritual adultery. They don't love the living and true God. Spiritual adultery. So idolatry is analogous to spiritual fornication or spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery was often used in the scriptures as a synonym for idolatry. Spiritual adultery was often used in the scriptures as a synonym for idolatry. Turn over to Jeremiah. I hope you have your Bibles with you. We're going to wear that Bible out tonight. Well, for the next 10 minutes, and then you have to come back next week and we'll wear it out again. Jeremiah chapter 3. Let's start at verse 6. During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, Jeremiah, have you seen what faithless Israel has done? Well, how about faithless America? We are faithless America. Have you seen what faithless America is doing? Have you seen what faithless Israel is? And by the way, when you see the word Israel, that's the northern kingdom. When you see Judah, that's the southern kingdom. So we have both of them here in this passage. Have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. I thought that after she had done all this, she would return to me. But she did not. And her unfaithful sister, Judah, the southern kingdom, saw it. I gave faithless Israel. We're faithless America. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce. What is that certificate of divorce? The fifth cycle of national discipline. The fifth cycle of national discipline, and sent her away because of her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister, Judah, southern kingdom, had no fear. No fear of the Lord, no occupation with Christ. She also went out and committed adultery. Because Israel, the northern kingdom, immorality, immoral degeneracy is all throughout America. Because Israel's, the northern kingdom's immorality, immoral degeneracy mattered so little to her. And it means so little in America. It means nothing in America. And if you don't accept homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, everything else, and being great, and we have to be inclusive and allow that all in, well, then you hate No, I don't hate. I love God. And God has stated clearly in His Word what is right and what is wrong. And what is right is marriage between one man and one woman, not two men, not two women. One man and one woman. And homosexuality and lesbianism and bestiality and all of the immoral degeneracy in our country today is satanic and evil and total idolatry. Total idolatry. We're right in the middle of idolatry. She, unfaithful sister Judah, had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. Because Israel's immorality, immoral degeneracy, the northern kingdom, mattered so little to her, she defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood, idols. In spite of all this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense, declares the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel 16, verse 23. Woe. When you have woe in the Hebrew, this is pretty powerful. Woe. And when you double it, woe, woe. Woe, woe to you, declares the sovereign Lord. In addition to all your other wickedness, reversionism, you built a mound for yourself and made a lofty shrine in every public square. At the head of every street, you built your lofty shrines and degraded your beauty, offering your body with increasing promiscuity, immoral degeneracy, to anyone who passed by. You engaged in prostitution with the Egyptians, your lustful neighbors, and provoked me to anger with your increasing promiscuity. So I stretched out my hand against you and reduced your territory, divine discipline. I gave you over to the greed of your enemies, the daughters of the Philistines, who were shocked by your lewd conduct, immoral degeneracy. You engaged in prostitution with the Assyrians too, because you were insatiable. And even after that, you still were not satisfied. And then you increased your promiscuity to include Babylonia, a land of merchants. But even with this, you were not satisfied. How weak-willed you are, declares the sovereign Lord. When you do all these things, acting like a brazen prostitute, when you built your mounds at the head of every street and made your lofty shrines in every public square, you were unlike a prostitute because you scorned payment. You adulterous wife, you prefer strangers to your own husband. Every prostitute receives a fee, but you give gifts to all your lovers, bribing them to come to you from everywhere for your illicit favors. So in your prostitution, You are the opposite of others. No one runs after you for your favors. You are the very opposite, for you give payment, and none is given to you. Turn over to Ezekiel 23. Ezekiel 23, verse 28. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am about to hand you over to those you hate, to those you turned away from in disgust. They will deal with you in hatred and take away everything you have worked for. This is the fifth cycle of national discipline. They will leave you naked and bare, and the shame of your prostitution will be exposed. Your lewdness and promiscuity have brought this upon you, because you lusted after the nations and defiled yourself with their idols. So idolatry is analogous to spiritual fornication or adultery. Spiritual adultery was often used in the scriptures as a synonym for idolatry. Now the Apostle John is giving a dire warning. At the end of 1 John, a dire warning. The idolatry of Gnosticism had taken a large portion of his congregation. Left. They left. And got involved in idolatry. Gnosticism. And that's one of the greatest evils Satan has ever come up with, and he's been using it from that day right up to today. It's still around and still destroying client nations to God today. So this last verse, as short as it is extremely powerful. A dire warning to us. It's a wake-up call for each one of you. It's a wake-up call for the royal family of God. It's a wake-up call for Client Nation America. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.